This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Which famous writer once said, "Without art, the crudeness of reality would make the world unbearable"? Kia ora and welcome to Sightlines, your guide to the visual arts in and around Dunedin. I'm Sally McMillan, and this show is brought to you on behalf of the Dunedin Public Art Gallery Society. The answer to my opening question is playwright and art critic George Bernard Shaw. Growing up in Ireland and dying in 1950 at the age of 94, Shaw was born to an alcoholic father and an uninterested mother. He lived through two world wars and the Great Depression and at least one influenza pandemic. He was, in short, well placed to comment on the crudeness of reality and to find solace in art, which, despite the vicissitudes of life in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, thrived and was championed in Britain and beyond, including in New Zealand. Fast forward to the 2000s, and what would Shaw make of the diminishing role of art in our world? As we recover from a pandemic and confront international war, a climate crisis and a recession, in New Zealand we simultaneously confront the downgrading of art, art history, languages and culture in our tertiary institutions. Should we now be asking ourselves, without art, what will be left to make the crudeness of reality more bearable? This month on Sightlines, we speak with two distinguished art academics who, along with other colleagues, have asked themselves that question in the context of art academia and art writing, and answered it by establishing the Visual Studies Research Network. Leonie Schmidt, Professor Emerita, and Bridie Loney is an emeritus member of the Dunedin School of Art, and they join me today to talk about the Visual Studies Research Network, the role that it plays in supporting and maintaining a high standard of art writing and criticism in Aotearoa New Zealand, and why that is so critical to the wider objective of supporting a healthy visual arts scene in our country. Bridie and Leonie, welcome to Sightlines.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally, for having us on your show.
Bridie, if I can start by asking you, the network was the brainchild of a collective. Who else was involved in its inception and how did it come about?
Kia ora. I'm going to give you the full title of the network: Cultures, Histories and Identities in Visual Studies, Te Ahurea Te Tahuhu Kōrero Me Te Tuakiri Kika Akuraka Atata. Is a research network dedicated to exploring, facilitating and supporting research and publication on the visual arts with a focus on the fine arts. And that title was developed carefully over some years as an initial feeling for a need was brought together a group of people who gradually formed something which now has a much more coherent identity. It's an interdisciplinary network, and I'll just mention some of the people who are in it. Emeritus Professor Hilary Radner from Visual Culture at the University of Otago and Associate Professor Cecilia Navarro, who's alas now lost to languages and culture at the University of Otago, as is Hilary, decided that the emerging research within these disciplines, which was disappearing from the city, needed to have a place where an audience could, as it were, peer review, listen to, comment, and enjoy emerging rather than completed research, because that's the growth area. That's where things bubble about and develop and are stimulated. So the community consists of people from visual culture, the fine arts areas, and people who were one way or another associated with the art history department or the art history community at the University of Otago.
And has the network come about and evolved, Bridie, following the events, if you like, that have happened at Otago University in the arts faculty?
The bonds with the Dunedin School of Arts staff and past staff have grown. And one of the things that happened recently was Dr. Ed Hampfling and Mark Stocker and Hilary produced a special edition of the New Zealand Journal of History, which was dedicated to new research in the visual arts. And three of our members had presented their work, and one of them, as work in progress and had it sort of wrangled by this group of rather, you know, rather sort of fearsome academics, which is actually quite a growing community, which includes people who've subsequently been made redundant, people whose jobs are in jeopardy, but also people who are very active in visual research.
Right. So who can join the network?
People join the network by attending the seminars, which are, it's a small group, but they're publicly advertised, and they're advertised throughout the university and some other areas. So typically a particular producer or writer, well, researcher, will have an audience which is their own for their own topic. But that is what grows the community. So first of all, the thing is to be part of the audience. And I should mention a couple of other members, which Emeritus Professor Alistair Fox, Professor Thomas McLean, for example, and Dr. Joe Osborne, Radhika Raghav, and Dr. Simon Ryan, as well as other members from the Dunedin School of Art.
So do you have international members as well as local ones?
We do have international members, and occasionally they Zoom in.
Right. And independent scholars, people who are currently involved in academia and in art writing?
Yes, they also come.
And
yes.
Is there a particular focus on people whose research interests lie in the art of New Zealand?
No, because the idea is that the person's research will drive their passion to present. And that's one of the joys of it. It's not actually tagged to a particular brief.
Okay. Leone, as part of its objective of supporting and encouraging academic research and peer review, the network sponsors a research seminar in visual studies. What can you tell us about that?
Sally, the network typically meets 6 times a year, and the meetings are hosted and convened by Dr. Edward Hanfling, the network's Otago Polytechnic liaison person. And these meetings take the form of seminars, as you've said. At the seminars, members present their research in process so that their peers can critique their work, offer suggestions, and add to the professional conversation. The seminars are always open to everybody, as Bridie said, but they are of paramount interest to members and those with a focus on research and peer review of research, whether it's their own or somebody else's.
Right. Okay, and I'm taking it that these seminars are, of course, separate to the long-standing weekly seminars, which happen every Thursday at the Dunedin School of Art. And I think they've been a feature of the school's public outreach program for over 25 years.
Yes, the Thursday seminars are an institution in the Dunedin School of Art and have been offered to students, staff and the wider public since 1998. The goal of these seminars is to expand and add value to the programs offered by the school, but they invite artists and scholars from Dunedin, the wider New Zealand and from abroad to present their work. They've been very successful to judge by feedback and attendance figures. And they happen without fail in teaching weeks. So that's about 36 events a year on Thursdays from 12 to 1 on the ground floor of the Art School in Rigo Street near the stadium. And everybody's welcome. And they're quite accessible to everybody who might be interested.
And I think there's a link to the Dunedin Public Art Gallery Society with those seminars.
Yes, we've been working with them for quite a number of years, and some of the artists who come as visitors to the Dunedin Public Art Gallery also present their work in those seminars.
Yes, and I know a lot of our listeners will be regulars at those seminars. It has continued to be a difficult time for the arts in Dunedin, following on from the withdrawal of Otago University support for art history and the general uncertainty surrounding the position of the humanities in academia currently. There's also been the announcement of the pausing of the Francis Hodgkins Fellowship in 2026. DPAG Society has recognised the important role that the network plays in maintaining the visibility of the arts in Dunedin, and we invited it to select the speaker for this year's William Matthew Hodgkins Lecture, which will take place at the Art Gallery on the 21st of September between 3 and 5pm. Bridie, what can you tell us about the network's choice of speaker?
Well, we chose somebody who is both local and has worked nationally and internationally. Professor Sue Ballard is a professor of art history and environmental humanities at Te Heringa Waka, Victoria University of Wellington. She's a graduate of the Dunedin School of Art and Otago University in photography, art history and women's studies. In 2013, she and Aaron Chrysler curated for the Dunedin Public Art Gallery an exhibition called Among the Machines, a groundbreaking exploration of relations between humans and technology, with its starting point being Samuel Butler's Erewhon set in Aotearoa. Sue's got an outstanding track record. She's written art essays for October, which is a major magazine publication in the visual arts and arts, environmental humanities, geo-humanities, and many others. And her most recent book won awards, Art and Nature in the Anthropocene, Planetary Aesthetics, which was put into paperback by Routledge, and you have to actually make quite a lot of sales for Routledge to put something into paperback. And she's also curating an ongoing project in the Adam Art Gallery in Wellington. So she seemed an ideal subject as a graduate of both the relevant institutions and also for her groundbreaking work in extending the reach of art history into the environmental humanities. And art history is a subject which can seem quite recondite and narrow, but in fact it's very applicable and relevant to all sorts of things, but one has to explain how and why this is. And Sue has been doing that, and I believe that's been one of the reasons why the Victoria University Department, Art History Department, continues to flourish.
So without any spoilers, what can you tell us about her lecture and what it's going to address?
Well, Sue's particularly interested in the arts, science and energy area of the arts that deal with the transformations that are roughly gathered together under the term the Anthropocene, and the histories that you can find in the visual arts of works by scientists or works about science, approaches to landscape, approaches to energy, basically approaches to the Industrial Revolution. And she's particularly good at, I think, tracking the implications of works such as the portraits, if you like, of dams, the establishment of the dams in the Waitaki Valley, which was something that Doris Lusk was interested in.
Yes.
Which just appear as landscapes, but when you consider them, we can see that something else is happening. So that's the kind of subject matter she's going to talk about. And she says in her abstract that she explores how conflicted values of extraction and ecology continue to determine relations to the earth and the energy stored within it.
And these are such important things for us to be talking about by any means at this time in the history of the world. And of course, the public are welcome always to the William Matthew Hodgkins Lecture, and it's one of two outreach events that the network is involved in the coming months. Again, in conjunction with the Dunedin Public Art Gallery Society, the network has been fortunate to obtain City of Literature funding support for an event that will be a follow-up to the lecture with two local artists, and I think, Leonie, you are chairing that event.
Yes, Sally, I was chairing that event, and this seminar is also open to the public, as you've said, and will take place on the 1st of October from 5 to 7 at the Otago School, Dunedin School of Art. It will focus on visual literacy, an important topic in our time when people are inundated with visual images, for example, on social media, without any training in schools to promote a discernment as to quality, veracity, or the dangers some images might pose. So for this particular event, we've got two presenters, as you've said. One of them is Materia Stanton-Turay. Her topic will be Indigenous Visual Jurisprudence, Reclaiming Sovereignty. And she will talk about the fact that law is not exclusively confirmed to the written word, nor solely dictated by codification through the written word. She's interested in how Indigenous law is enacted through relational configurations and visual and performative traditions. So that's what she's going to focus on for the first part of that seminar. The second seminar will be presented to us by Anna Terry. She is working at Otago Polytechnic, and she is teaching a postgraduate course in visual communication for learning design. And again, talking about links, Anna has a Master of Fine Arts from the Dunedin School of Art. So does Materia, by the way. She has an honors degree from the Dunedin School of Art. And Anna will be talking about how visual literacy can play a part in education, why it doesn't play a big part in education at the moment, and how it can play a bigger part in our training of people.
And again, very important issues and conversations to be having, as you've said, because of the fact that children today particularly are overexposed. I guess I say that from my own generational perspective, but arguably overexposed to visual input, but are not always well equipped to use, interpret, and manage that. So it'll be fantastic to see what those two very well-respected people have to say on that subject. A couple of shows ago, we interviewed Alistair Fox about his very beautiful recent book, Between Transience and Eternity, on the life and art of Peter Cleverley. Now, Alistair is a member of the network, and I suggest that this book is a great example of the importance of good writing about art. He's, of course, both Peter and Alistair, alive and well, but many academic works focused on the history of art. What, in your view, is the importance of art history in the academic curriculum, and why do students and artists need to know about what has gone before?
That is a question with many different answers, so I'll try and give a few. In the first instance, the artists, upcoming artists, new artists, learning artists, and for example, at the Dunedin School of Art, they need to know the whole context within which they're working. Otherwise, they tend to repeat things. They don't know what they're repeating. They often make work without understanding the genealogy of the images and the forms that they're using. So for the purpose of contextualizing their own work, it's important to know about art history. But also in the broader sense of the word, it is a question of being educated about the world in which you're functioning. And it's a background, it's history, it's different perspectives, and being an informed artist.
Bridie, what would you add to that?
I would say that probably within European art, art has acquired a slightly extreme place in value systems. And so people tend to see art as if it contains the values of the society, and which is partly why they differentiate art from visual culture sometimes. And I think that's partly to do with the commodification of art and the gradual sort of a certain elitism that has been attached to art, which I find unfortunate. But the point about the visual arts is that the whole body and mind should be engaged in their production, so they genuinely do represent the artist's value system. It's legitimate to read value from art, but it's important to understand how those values have been nuanced historically and how they may be limited by the conditions in which art is exhibited or sold. And it's also important, and I think this is a great failure in the education system, art is an enabling activity. So while there are professionals, there are everybody is capable of the production of art and the transferable skills from art making and learning about art within the education system right from the get-go, immensely valuable.
A very valuable lesson to end with there. Thank you. Bridie Loney and Leonie Schmidt, the DPAG Society is pleased to be able to walk alongside the Visual Studies Research Network in supporting the maintenance of a high standard of art writing and criticism in Aotearoa. We applaud you and the network for the important work that you are doing, and together with our listeners, we thank you for the work that you will continue to do and have done this year in facilitating the William Matthew Hodgkins Lecture with Susan Ballard at DPAG on the 21st of September and the seminar at the School of Art on the 1st of October. Thank you for being with us on Sightlines today.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now here's Ross Curry with the latest on the Dunedin art scene. This is Snapshot. Ross, there's something special coming to DPAG at the end of this month.
Opening on the 27th on the ground floor is a new exhibition, Paradise of Imagination, Modern and Medieval Encounters. This looks at how art and histories from the Middle Ages have emerged in artists' work across time. And it draws from the DPAG permanent collection, the Hocken, Public Library Special Collections, and the Christchurch Art Gallery Collections.
And of course, we have interviewed Anya, the curator of that exhibition, and we're all very much looking forward to it. Tell us about some of the art groups around town. What are they up to?
Well, it's great to see community art groups thriving in Dunedin. At the Otago Art Society, the Northeast Valley Art Group has an exhibition opening September the 20th and closing on the 27th. And recently, members of the local art group, the Botanicalists, presented their art at one of our society's Meet the Artist events. And currently, you can see a selection of their work at the Blueskin Nursery, Waitati.
Let's go now to the Dealer Galleries. What's up there?
Lots on at the Dealer Galleries, Sally. Tricia Bennett has her inaugural show, Embodied Encounters, coming up at the Moray Gallery. This is from the 6th to the 26th. Her work is primarily realistic, impressionist landscapes in oil and acrylic mediums. And Gallery De Novo has an exhibition of Georgina Hobby Scutt's work from the 12th of this month. Georgina has a print design background. She's primarily a colourist, and her joyful work is loosely figurative and lightly abstracted. And Henry Turner exhibits at the Brett McDowell Gallery from the September the 2nd to the October the 2nd. He's been described as eccentric, gifted, and experimental. In addition to drawing and painting, Henry uses mediums of embroidery, silver making, and sculpting. He's the youngest person to have his work in the permanent collection in the Christchurch Public Art Gallery. I think there are likely to be some surprises from this innovative artist. Milford Gallery has an exhibition of Amanda Grunewald's work. Influenced by the great American colour field painters, the paintings have an impressionist landscape-like element, with the large-scale colour and form leaping out. This shows from the 5th to the 19th of September. And the Artist's Room continues its 21st birthday with regular arrivals of new paintings. FE29 has works from the late Dunedin sculptor Peter Nichols, opening September the 5th. And fans of Pippi Miller can see her latest exhibition, Taking Advantage of Poor Light, at Olga this month.
Wow, so much to see, so little time. And I think there's also good stuff happening at the Hocken, Ross.
Yeah, for all the history buffs and photography enthusiasts listening, the Hocken Gallery has a show for you. A Different Light, First Photographs of Aotearoa is a collaborative exhibition drawing from collections at the Auckland Museum. The Alexander Termal Library and our own Hocken collection are included in this. This is open from September the 20th.
And up the road in Oamaru.
Sione Faletau is a Tongan multidisciplinary artist who is currently showing his work at the Forrester Gallery in Oamaru. Through his video, soundscape, sculpture and installation, he explores the layers of his cultural identity. And this finishes September the 28th. And just a reminder about the two events you've already discussed with our guests. The annual William Matthew Hodgkins Memorial Lecture this year will be delivered by Professor Susan Ballard from the Victoria University. This is at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery Auditorium at 3 o'clock on Sunday, September the 21st. The title is Extraction, Energy, Ecology and Landscape in Aotearoa. And the Visual Studies Research Network seminar is at the Dunedin School of Art Seminar Room on Wednesday, October the 1st, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. The presenters are Materia Stanton-Toure and Anna Terry, and they'll explore topics in visual literacy, including Indigenous visual jurisprudence and visual education.
Thanks, Ross. And thanks to you, our listeners. If you'd like to hear today's show again or listen to previous shows, you can find us on the Otago Access Radio and DPAG Society websites, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to join the Society, you can also find a form on our website or join at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery reception. Thanks to contributor Ross Curry and producer and DPAG Society President Jonathan Quayle. Join us again next month for another dive into the visual arts in Dunedin and beyond. I'm Sally McMillan, and you've been listening to Sightlines.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.